years ago, we would say public health systems research really was in its infancy. The title back of this session itself, and it is maturing a bit and moving towards adolescence, and there are lots of hurdles out there, as with most adolescents. There are a lot of questions out there. There are a lot of challenges that we have to overcome, but there are huge opportunities. And yeah, there has been funding. People actually know what the field is all about now. Academy Health, is, with its partners in the stakeholder meeting, laid out some incredible challenges, but again, opportunities to really improve this field and help it grow and mature. And so Glenn Mays is going to talk now a bit about, from the researcher perspective, of how and why. You know, why is this important? And Glenn, will you please come up here and join us?
Thank you very much, Ron. So I am the token researcher on the podium today, and I noticed that I think probably the, it looks like the researchers are the majority in the room, at least based on the poll that Ron did earlier today. So please recognize my remarks are directed primarily at this research audience, and as I'm talking at you, I'm also talking at myself, and so in the extent that I may be a bit critical of where we are now and or challenging us as researchers to stretch now to really make progress in this, I'm talking not only to you, but I'm talking directly to myself and challenging myself along with the rest of this field to make progress here. And I think that the central challenge we have now is now that we have a viable research enterprise underway, we have a small but growing evidence base, we have a small but growing pool of funding for research and relationships, organizations to make this research happen. Now the challenge is how do we make sure we're making this research relevant and we're generating findings that are actionable for our practice community. As part of the stakeholder meeting that Kate talked about that Academy Health convened earlier this year, I had a great opportunity. Academy Health asked me to kind of take a look at the literature that was out there around public health systems, what we know about the public health delivery systems currently, and what some of the unanswered questions are. And in looking at that, that research base, it's clear that that we're progressing along a continuum of research. A lot of our early work has been focused on descriptive research, really understanding, you know, how many public health agencies do we have out there, and what do they look like, and what kind of services do they deliver. How much are we spending on these services? You know, that really, that descriptive epidemiology of our public health systems. And we have a good base now of literature and research on that, you know, on those kind of major descriptive characteristics. We've also begun to take it a step further now, moving more into what we call inferential research, looking at variation in these public health system characteristics across communities and how that relates to variation in other important, you know, aspects of performance or aspects of outcomes that we're concerned about. So we can begin to make inferences about how public health system characteristics influence performance, influence service availability, and ultimately influence outcomes. And again, we've begun and have some, I think, some good studies and begun to get some good evidence around those kind of inferential findings around what system attributes, agency attributes, appear to be related to aspects of performance and outcomes. Now here's where the challenge really comes in. We have got to now move as a field beyond that inferential phase in order to answer the so what questions that I'm certainly hearing from my practice colleagues. You know, so what? You find that larger public health systems realize economies of scale appear to be able to offer a broader scope of services. So what? You find that communities that spend more on public health services are able to deliver more, a broader scope of services. Well, you know, so what? You find that agencies that have higher levels of staffing are able to provide a broader scope of services and able to perform higher, at higher levels. You know, these are kind of giving us, in some sense, a profound grasp of the obvious. And how can we go beyond that now to really look at, produce evidence that tells us how we can improve our public health systems? To do that, we've got to get into this phase of doing interventional research, doing translational research, that really involves making changes to how we're organizing public health services, how we're financing, staffing, and delivering those services, and implementing research designs along with those changes so that we can see stimulus and response. What are the outcomes from the changes that we're beginning to introduce in our public health systems? I think that's really where we're going, where we need to go as a field, toward outcomes research, quality improvement research, this kind of action-oriented research in our public health delivery systems. And as we'll talk about, I think, further, progressing to that level of research, the research community cannot do that alone. We have to be working in partnership with the practice community to implement those changes and to implement research designs that allow us to provide definitive evidence about the impact, the results and impact of those changes in public health. So that's really where I think we're moving, where we're getting to move, and where we need to move much more rapidly in order to advance this field of research. A couple of observations around priority research areas, and again, I tend to look at where the opportunities are for research from this view of looking at where we're starting to make changes to our public health systems and where we then have opportunities as both researchers and practitioners to study the impact, the outcomes, and the impact of those changes. One of the areas lies in the area of organizational and interorganizational structures. In particular, we've got preliminary evidence about things like, you know, larger public health systems appear to be able to offer a broader scope of services, appear to achieve higher levels of performance. Well, now we're starting to implement changes around the country, things like regionalization strategies, consolidations. We had a great session in the public health finance meeting yesterday and looking at some of these regionalization strategies that Dr. Stotto and others have studied that are being considered now in Massachusetts. These opportunities now, these changes to our delivery system present enormous opportunities for building the evidence base if we design appropriate studies to be able to monitor the effects of those kind of changes. But to do that, again, researchers can't do this in isolation. We have to be at the table with practitioners, with decision makers, policy makers, and others as these changes to our organizational structures are being implemented so that we can design studies to produce evidence about their impact. Second area, workforce and staffing. We know that this is, you know, public health is a labor-intensive endeavor. We know that workforce characteristics intuitively make a big difference in terms of our ability, our capacity, and ultimately our outcomes. Again, this is an area where we're starting to implement a lot of changes through new staffing models that are being used in state and local public health departments, through training initiatives that are designed to upgrade our capacity, identifying competencies. We again talked about that yesterday as well, and the other training programs that are designed to upgrade our workforce. These again represent wonderful natural experiments, potentially, opportunities for us to study the impact of changes in our workforce on public health performance and on outcomes. And again, we've got to be at the table with practitioners if we're going to be able to design studies to capture those effects. Financing economics, another important area of particular interest to me, and I know a number of colleagues in the audience. You know, we know that spending matters. We know that money matters now. We've got the inferential evidence about that. Now, how can we progress now to interventional and translational studies in the finance arena? We need to begin to experiment with new funding formulas, new ways of new payment systems, and other kind of, again, changes to our ways of financing public health services. And as we introduce those new funding models, we need to have research designs in place as well to capture those effects. Again, some great opportunities for natural experiments as states begin to test new funding and financing mechanisms here. And then finally, delivery and performance issues. It was mentioned already, I think a key opportunity here lies in our ability to look at issues around the adoption of evidence-based programs and services. We do have a growing body of evidence suggesting around specific public health interventions showing what works and what doesn't in documents like the Community Guide and others. And again, now we have a tremendous opportunity as we're beginning to promote guidelines and disseminate these evidence-based programs, as we're beginning to launch quality improvement initiatives in state and local health departments, and again, through activities like the Multi-State Learning Collaborative that RWJ has sponsored. These, again, create very compelling natural experiments for us to design studies to look at what factors facilitate and or inhibit the adoption of these evidence-based programs, the implementation of quality improvement strategies. But again, researchers, we got to be at the table with the practitioners on the front end if we want to take advantage of those research opportunities. So some of the key steps, I think, for moving forward, I've talked a lot about this need to bridge research and practice, and one of the avenues we have available that we'll be testing a way to make this happen is the use of practice-based research networks in public health. This is a concept that's been used successfully in our health services research field for quite some time now, primarily in the area of primary care, building networks of primary care practitioners to collaborate with researchers in identifying important real-world research questions, designing studies in real-world practice settings to answer those questions. With the Robert Johnson Foundation's generous support, we have an opportunity now to test this concept of practice-based research networks in public health, and we'll be rolling that out over the next year, and looking at mechanisms for developing such research networks among state and local public health organizations, collaborating with researchers, again, to try to stimulate this research practice collaboration. As I mentioned earlier, also, I think there's a lot of opportunity now for demonstrations and pilot tests that can present very compelling research opportunities for the public in the public health arena through things like testing new payment methods, testing new staffing models, testing things like regionalization and other initiatives to reorganize our delivery system for public health. And then finally, and I'll just put in a plug, echoing the need for more improved data sources for doing these kind of studies, standardizing and routinizing our data collection processes in public health at a national level. And I know that my colleague Doug Scutchy will be talking more about that. So let me leave it there.